On a quiet night outside Bethlehem, heaven's song broke into earth's silence. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. The birth of Christ was God's declaration that peace is possible, not the absence of struggle, but the presence of the Savior. His peace calms our fears and reconciles us to God and to one another.
We light this candle to remember that peace is the heart of Christmas, for Christ is our peace.
As we prepare for the coming of Jesus, we remember that Jesus is our hope and our peace. As we read in Luke 2, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Luke 2, 13 through 14.
Pray. Prince of Peace, calm our restless hearts. In a world filled with noise and conflict, make us instruments of your peace. Teach us to trust your presence and share your reconciling love with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
When you get to this time of year, early December, what is today, December 7th, I think there are two kinds of people, and that's pretty radically on display. There are those whose Christmas shopping is already done, and then there are normal people. Like, I know for me, it's like every year I have the best of intentions. I create this like document with all the different needs that are, and it's like I'm going to work ahead. And I do that to a certain extent because some of us maybe buy more gifts than others. I don't know. But invariably, I find myself at some point, December 23rd, let's say. and here I am wandering the aisles of Walmart, like just looking for anything that like randomly looks like it might possibly work as a Christmas gift. Hey, I wonder if Uncle Joe would really like that scented candle in the shape of a snowman. Either that or beef jerky. So maybe you're like me and can understand that. I don't know. Christmas gifts can be hard, though. In fact, Nate, I think you're the one that shared with me this really powerful idea of, do you know why it, among the alphabet... Was this you? That the only one to get a Christmas gift was the letter E. The only one. All the others were naughty. That's on you, Nate. I think I laughed harder than that groan that we got just now. In a way, I think the Christmas season just shows us how not peaceful we are. Because it's a time of year where everything seems sort of compressed, where the schedule gets more full and the bank account gets a little more thin. The kids get a little more excited, or you might even say hyper. Like everything is just reaching this boiling point until, you know, you're just hoping by the time Christmas Eve arrives that the one Christmas sweater you have has not been stained by hot chocolate, right? Mark, you got the llama sweater. I think you and I have a matching Christmas sweater. It's the only one I have, and the kids borrow it to go to various parties. It's like, I just hope by Christmas Eve it still, you know, doesn't have these ghastly stains on it. Traffic during the holiday season, not peaceful. Family gatherings where that maybe Uncle Joe wants to talk politics. It's a different Uncle Joe than the one you wanted to buy the beef jerky for, probably. Not peaceful. Trying to untangle last year's Christmas lights. Well, that will test your sanctification. The Christmas season just has its difficulties and its challenges. And yet, as we turn to the scriptures, and we heard it this morning just a moment ago from the Advent Litany, when the angels announce the birth of Jesus, what do they say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Everybody say that with me. And on earth, peace. Let's just sit in that for a moment. Because there may be an irony here that for some of you, this morning has been anything but peaceful. Trying to get yours dressed and ready and out the door and in the vehicle and loaded up and pulling into the parking lot and into the seats. Let's just take a moment to experience that. Because I think we need more experiences with God more than we need more information. We need more gospel transformation. That today we would experience the peace that those angels were announcing on the hillside 2,000 years ago. That is the message of Christmas. Not just the twinkling lights, not just the cozy songs, but peace breaking into our chaos. That's what we're going to talk about together this morning. So my name is John. I'm thrilled to have you with us today. And I pray that as you study God's word, he brings you closer to his heart. We are in week 2 of our Advent series, which is called The Heart of Christmas. And today we're looking at how peace is at the heart of Christmas, what God is doing in this season. And when we say peace, I don't mean that sort of just relax, be at peace kind of thing. Like, not just the warm, fuzzy Hallmark movie with the predictable plot line kind of peace. Like a genuine spiritual reality that only God can give. It's amazing that the world over, so like not even Christian believers, but secular folks, when asked, like, what wish do you want granted? What do you long for? If anything is possible, and the overwhelming majority near the top of the list is always world peace. There's sort of that ache and longing in our hearts, although I'm not sure the vision of world peace that those folks have in mind is even really what we're talking about today. Like, the peace that Jesus brings doesn't just mean stopping wars. It doesn't just mean a family gathering around the holidays where there's no arguing or bickering. Like, it's deeper than that. It's truly about a Savior who restores what sin has broken. So when I say peace, please hear me this morning that it's not some, like, just sweet, cozy idea of can't we all just get along? It's this spiritual reality of being restored by the God who can only reconcile sinners back to himself when they have messed up, when they have gone astray. Like, it's only because of Jesus that peace is possible. So open your Bibles with me this morning. We are going to spend our time this morning in Luke chapter 2. Let's begin in verse 8. This, of course, is a well-known passage. The church staff spent some time in it this week doing a devotional together. And it just, I think, hit us afresh. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, tells us, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, by the way, when we were reading this as a staff, Caleb was the one who got to read this verse, and he sang it rather than reading it. So now as I'm reading it this morning, I can only hear Caleb's voice singing this verse. What were the angels singing and saying? Verse 14, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. So Christmas, the real Christmas, as we talk about peace this morning, it isn't about the chaos we create, the shopping and the to-do lists and this time of year that just seems to squeeze us. It's about the peace that God brings. And that's why Luke chapter 2, this verse that we're studying, these passages that we're studying this morning, is such good news. It's good news for you and for me, because Christmas doesn't just ignore our stress or our fear or the messiness of our lives. It speaks straight into it. And so let's look closely there to see the very first thing that the angels say to these shepherds is, do not be afraid. What a great message. Don't be afraid. And this was a message given to men who were terrified. They were very afraid. In fact, let me give a more literal translation of the Greek word used there. Mega afraid. Uber afraid. Like drop your staff, scream in a pitch that you didn't know you could reach with your voice afraid. Like, this means they were, don't you love the KJV, sore afraid. And honestly, who can blame them? I mean, it's a sleepy time. It's in the middle of the night. They're in a field. They're doing their job. And suddenly, the sky just explodes with light and with songs and with noise and the appearance of celestial beings. Like, this is not a normal night for these shepherds. And here's the point. Peace meets us in our fear. Right where we're at, God meets us right where we are. He comes to these shepherds in a powerful way right where they are. And maybe it was in a place where they least expected it. You know, they didn't go down to the synagogue. They didn't go to visit with the Sanhedrin and like religious leaders of their day. They're on a hillside. They're among smelly sheep. They're doing their normal, mundane, daily work. And when this event occurs, as we just talked about, they're terrified. They're afraid. And that's just what peace does. It shows up in the middle of the storm. And it's wrong-headed for us to think about a life of peace being one that doesn't have any troubles, doesn't have any issues, doesn't have any struggles or fear or storms. That's not biblical peace. Rather, it's the presence of God in the storm. That's why he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. In fact, Jesus tells his disciples this in John 14 and verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." He's trying to make this biblical distinction that I've just spent about 5 minutes trying to explain. My peace. And then he says, "I don't give to you as the world gives." Like, the world might try to give peace that everything externally looks like it's in order. That's not the peace that God offers. It's a peace that works on our inside. It works from the inside out. The other thing, one other powerful thing, and this came out from our staff devotional on this, is the Lord is breaking into humanity. He's coming to a group of people to announce, this is it, guys, right? I mean, like, this is one of the pivotal moments in all of human history. And he goes, Let's go to those shepherds. Like, not the kings, not the Pharisees, not the scribes, the teachers of the law, not like zealots or like people who were really religious and pious, not any other group. He chooses shepherds, which were lowly, which were looked down upon. They're not Bible scholars. They're not influencers. They're not even in their culture. They weren't even considered reliable. Their testimony wouldn't even be allowed in a court of law. They're working class guys with dirt under their fingernails. They had a job that wasn't very glamorous. It's just amazing to think that in the mind of God, he says, yeah, those are the ones. Those are the ones that we're going to go to announce this amazing good news. I want them to hear the announcement first. And I think there is a powerful theology there. There is a powerful truth there. And this smacks in the face of someone who is in vocational ministry. Like, I'm a professional Christian, you know, like, and some of you can identify, we've grown up in the church. We've tried really hard to have the right look and the right clothing and sound right. And every Sunday, we come into this building. And in God's economy, he says, yeah, all the ones with the religious activity, let's go to these guys. Let's go to these ruffians. Like, the gospel, this good news of Christmas, it isn't just for people who are all polished and nice and pretty and smell good. It's for the ones who are completely stressed out and overwhelmed. It's for the ones who are afraid. When they see God at work and the angel appears, they're completely terrified. It's because God's light is breaking into darkness. So when we tout our own goodness and our own light, then we don't necessarily need Christ, the light of the world, do we? It's when we recognize that we are steeped in darkness, that we ache for, just as the people of Israel did for those hundreds of years, aching for the light to come, the Messiah to come, the promised one to step into their darkness. And that's what happens here in Luke chapter 2, the announcement that comes from the angels, and it goes to shepherds. Peace doesn't just wait for you to be ready. It breaks into your world, into your chaos, into your mess, when you look to Jesus. And that peace is only possible because Jesus came. The shepherds, I mean, I think this is clear, but it's like they didn't earn this. They hadn't done anything to deserve this news or the peace that came to them that night. They weren't even looking for it. Peace came to them. And the same is true for us. And here's the truth then, that peace moves us into God's family. This is the good news of the gospel. Let's look at verse 11 closely there in Luke chapter 2, which is really kind of the heartbeat of this entire episode and certainly the announcement that comes from the angels. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Not a great teacher has been born. Not a moral example. Not a spiritual influencer. A Savior, because what we need the most is not advice. It's not more positive thinking. It's not even a fresh start. It's rescue from our predicament of sin. So here's what we're talking about this morning when we say peace. Peace is reconciliation with God. Being at one with our Maker. So it's not just this happy, ooey-gooey feeling. It's a relationship restored. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have peace based on what Christ has done for those who respond in faith. So this smacks in the face of universalism, which says, since Jesus came, we're all saved. We all have peace with God. No, that's not true. We have been justified by faith. And it has occurred because of the inbreaking reign of the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace that he has ushered into our lives as we choose him as Lord and Savior. So again, this peace, it's not vague, it's very specific. It's not sentimental, it's not just seasonal. It's not based on whether you've been naughty or nice. It is rooted in a real Savior entering real history to bring real reconciliation, right? Do you see how personalized this is? Again, we're in verse 11 there. A Savior has been born to you. To you, shepherds. To you, sinners. To you, outsiders. To you, worriers. To you who are stricken with fear. To you who are paralyzed, not knowing which direction to go. To you who have wandered far from the heart of God. To you who wonder if God could even care about someone like you. It's almost as if this birth of Christ and this story is God saying, I see you, I love you, I have come for you. Because we've all done wrong. Even though you've sinned, you've broken God's laws, you deserve punishment, which is eternal separation from him and eternity spent in hell. Based on the work that Christ did on the cross of Calvary, he took that punishment upon himself. And so, again, whoever turns to him in faith can be forgiven. What good news that we can be made right in God's sight. Steeped in darkness and yet bathed in the light of Christ, we become righteous in the eyes of God. And again, this doesn't come through our own effort. This is a gift of grace that comes from the Lord. Peace comes from the Lord. It is from God's favor, his grace poured out through Jesus. And it's for everyone. Did you catch that? If we look again at verse 10, we see him saying, I bring you good news of great joys that will be for all the people. For all the people. The ones who are forgotten, the ones who are broken, the ones who are downtrodden. If he can bring peace to lowly shepherds who are keeping watch by night, then he can bring peace to you. To your heart, to your home, to your workplace, to your anxious mind. I want to keep reading in this passage, so let's keep going in Luke chapter 2. Let's pick it back up at verse 15. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I love the response of these guys. It could be seen as rash, but I think there's just a genuine enthusiasm. I think there's something really good and godly in their response. You know, the angels take off, and you can imagine there's just that, like, there was just this big, loud, bright commotion, and all of a sudden, it's gone. They're probably breathing heavily. It's like, and then they're like, let's go see. You know, it's not like, I'll pray about it. It's not like, let's finish with this shift, and then we'll go down into Bethlehem. You know, like, let's get a good night's sleep first. They're like, we're going to go right away. And they go and they encounter Christ, the newborn babe. And verse 17 there shared us, they spread the word. They spread the word. So here's the reality is that peace mobilizes us for God's mission. I'll put it this way. Peace doesn't just settle you, it sends you. Peace doesn't just settle you, it sends you. The shepherds became the first evangelists. A group of nobodies, a group of ruffians. They are the ones who herald this amazing good news of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I think, guys, this always happens when someone encounters the peace of God. They want others to know it too. Just think about in your world, in your life, even something as simple as you find a restaurant that you really like, or your friends, they discover something new, and they're like, I've got to tell you about this place. It's amazing. The tacos there, they just changed my life. How much more should we be sharing the good news about Jesus, the one who actually transforms us from darkness into light? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 19 and 20, we won't turn there this morning, but he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Meaning, if God's peace lives in you, then at some point you're going to move your feet, you're going to open your mouth, and it's going to shape your life. Again, think about these, the very first evangelists. They didn't have seminary degrees. They weren't part of a discipleship program. They didn't even have a full understanding of who this baby was, what his ministry would be, his impending, you know, death on the cross and resurrection. Like, they didn't even understand all of that. What they did have was a story. So there we were. Hank started dozing off. One little sheep had a thorn in its side that we were trying to help out, and all of a sudden, everything is sleepy, and all of a sudden, they tell the story. That's what they had. They had a story. You might find this hard to believe, they might have said, but it was angels. And then they told us, and then we wanted to go see for ourselves, and sure enough, there he was in the manger, which is a feeding trough. They tell the story. So they think, I want to highlight that for us this morning because I think sometimes we fall prey to that same thinking. They're like, well, I haven't really been trained, and I haven't really been through. And we have been talking as a staff about how we can, as a church body, even grow in our ability to articulate the gospel and to come alongside others to point them to Jesus. And so we want to take steps toward that. I think we can fall prey to that thinking of like, surely someone else will tell them about Jesus, or I'm not really qualified to do it. You have a story. So share your story. You know, sometimes we like to get really creative with apologetics and arguments and stuff, and people can always rebut your ideas and your perspective on those things. No one can disagree with your story. It's yours to tell, so tell it. Share of the goodness of God. Talk about your own walk with Christ and how did you come into relationship with him? How did you become aware of this good news that God made you and loves you, and even though you've sinned and done wrong, he restores you back to himself through his son Jesus? Share your story. God wants to mobilize you. That's what this peace does. It mobilizes us for God's mission. Your story is enough. I truly believe this, that a heart filled with peace becomes a life sent with purpose. We have this good news, and this good news is to be shared. It's peace for the frightened. It is peace for the fallen. It's peace for the world. Again, it's not the world peace that others have in mind. It's something different. It's being reconciled to God, even though we've done wrong. So I think I would just ask this morning, where do you need peace in your life? And if you ask the Lord for it, and maybe even now in the quietness of your heart, to lay that before him. Lord, give me peace. It's a season where we probably all need some peace. Or maybe it's a friend or family member that's struggling, that's just weighing on your heart. Maybe it's a relationship that's in turmoil in your life. Bring it before the Lord. Our prayer team will be available this morning as well. You're welcome to come and share your needs. We would pray with you this morning after our service. Bear that burden with you. But where do you need the peace of God today? Are there areas where you, like the shepherds, are fearful and afraid and terrified? And would you hear that same message that the Lord sent to them? Do not be afraid, because it is good news. The story of Christ's birth in Luke chapter 2 reminds us that God's peace does not just come to those who have it all together. It comes to those who are willing to listen, willing to receive, willing to believe, and then follow where Jesus leads. So I truly believe the heart of Christmas is peace, real peace, God's peace, peace that, as we've talked about, meets you, moves you, and mobilizes you. And that peace has a name, Jesus. So may his peace fill you, may it find you, may it flow through you to the world around you. Let's pray together. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this good news. Lord, we will confess to you this morning that this passage is familiar, that we've heard it, that we hear it every year on Charlie Brown's Christmas, little Linus stepping into the spotlight and reciting it. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring it to us so that it's not stale or trite or old or used, Lord, but it's fresh. Because, Lord, this life is difficult and it's dark. And even now, a season that squeezes us. And you, Jesus, are the Prince of Peace. And so we would pray that, Lord, would you be the Prince of Peace in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our church, in our community, and yes, across the globe, as the gospel goes forth, that we are reconciled to you, Almighty God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for MCA this morning. I ask that you would help us to be a church unified. I ask that you would help us to be a people who are after your heart. Lord, continue to transform us by this truth of the gospel, that we would indeed be a vibrant community, and that as you send us, Lord, we would share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. It's only in his name we pray all these things. Amen.